So you've heard me, probably heard me share the quote from Pope Benedict XVI, and I think it's on that piece of paper on the bulletin board out there about a favorite quote of mine. That the one who has hope lives differently. And I shared on Easter Sunday that Easter is the birthday of hope. That it gives direction and confidence for our lives. That there's a plan, there's a purpose, there's an order, there's a purpose, there's a direction. And this feast, this great feast of the Ascension, this feast of joy, this feast of hope, helps us to understand exactly where that direction is, what we are appointed to, what is our purpose. There's a big question in most of our lives at some point, like, about my identity, about my purpose. Why did God make me? What is all this about? In our day, in our secular world today, it's a great question that many people have no idea how to answer. But identity, purpose, and mission. We get stuck in a self-referential kind of torment of emotions and feelings. And this is why we need this great feast. As the collect, the opening prayer said, that the Christ the head has gone to heaven and we the body dared to hope to follow. And that great call of Jesus throughout his public ministry, simply follow me. Follow me. Leave behind your expectations. Leave behind your plans, your dreams, your little hopes, and follow me, the one true hope. And today he shows us to where we are going, that where the head has gone, the body hopes to follow. And not just hopes like we hope we have good weather or we hope for good grades, but the true theological virtue of hope. The confident expectation that God will be faithful to his promises. And in doing so, he will provide us every means necessary to achieve that. And he gave him that hope. Stay and wait for the promise of the Father. Wait for the power, the glory of the Holy Spirit to be shed upon you. Both the conclusion of Luke's gospel that we heard and the beginning of Acts of the Apostle, written by the same person, St. Luke, we're continuing the story. Those last moments of the life of Jesus bleed into this great week of waiting, of expectation, that we prepare for next Sunday, the great feast of Pentecost, the great outpouring of the power of the Father upon his children, upon his church. We celebrate at Christmas the incarnation, when the divinity, the greatness of God, is wedded to humanity. That in this hypostatic union, the incarnation, that this man, Jesus, this divine person, is fully God and fully man. He sanctified humanity, opened up once again the floodgates of grace that were lost in the garden, that through the incarnation now, all of creation has the opportunity to shine forth the glory of God in a very specific way in the human person, that we can be a sacrament to the world, that invisible reality made present through the physical things. That happens at Christmas. And we celebrate what we call the great Paschal mystery, the suffering, the death, the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus into heaven that completes this earthly ministry of Jesus. So what happened at Christmas, when divinity is wedded to humanity, we can say the opposite happens today, or 3 days ago, 40 days after Easter. That humanity is brought into the divine reality, the realm of the heavenly presence of God, that humanity is there. And this is where the confusion about our bodies, the confusion of our identities, is answered in the person of Jesus, who has reigning, as we heard, sitting at the right hand of God the Father with his human flesh. The humanity is in heaven. So why do we have bodies? Why is there what is the purpose of our lives? Why are we created? We're created to one day be in heaven with God the Father, with Jesus the Son, in the Holy Spirit for the rest of eternity. If we don't know that, if we don't know that's why we were created, if we don't know that's the plan and purpose of our life, our mission, then our identity is all out of whack. If we don't understand why God made us. And so we see in our world today, as God is being pushed further and further to the margins, to the peripheries, we see the great disorder in our lives. And it didn't just start in the last 3 or 4 or 5 years. It started from the garden. But in the modern time, the question about who am I and what is my purpose and whatever else, that's a modern question. After the French Revolution, to go into the history of it, when God was officially pushed out of the secular order, there was a scrambling for purpose, for meaning. And we've been struggling with that since. We don't know why or what or how about the human person. We're trying to figure it out on our own, but God has already given us the answer. The answer is Jesus. We try to create life. We think we have the power to end life. We disrupt the marital act. We put laws that help us to end suffering of our loved ones. And then we see how that spills into the disorder, the chaos, the violence in this world. We saw it last week. We see it every day at the abortion clinic. We see it at the borders. We see it in homes. We hear about it in the confessional. The disorder, the chaos, the violence in our lives because we have forgotten who God is. And when we don't know who God is, if we don't sit and wait to receive the promise, the power of the Spirit to come upon us, so we can enter into this great relationship with the Most Holy Trinity. This relationship with God the Father gives me my identity. This is who I am and why I am here, so that I can go and be a witness to the ends of the world. If I don't believe that God is real, if I don't believe that God is really part of my life, if I'm left to scramble to find my own way, the end is destruction. As St. Paul says, we glory in our strength, in our shame. Our end is destruction. But he says so beautifully in this second reading, may God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation resulting in the knowledge of him. First chapter of Ephesians chapter, verse 17. You could just stay with that for the rest of this day, the rest of this week, the rest of your life. That may God give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation resulting in the knowledge of him. This is what we're here for. To have our minds opened, wisdom, revelation, to see how God is being made manifest in our very presence, resulting in the knowledge of him. Not just facts in a book, but the intimate knowledge of a marital union, of a married couple. This is the goal. And Jesus is reigning in heaven with our humanity. With the fleshy stuff of us. Our bodies are good. Our bodies have purpose. And they shouldn't be changed on a whim because we're having a bad time. We shouldn't have to go searching for who we are and what life is all about. We come before the throne of the Heavenly Father. And let us rest. Let us wait. Because God is coming. The power of the Holy Spirit will be released upon his church anew next Sunday. let us wait and receive that glory of God. And then let us go out and be witnesses to the ends of the world.